would also add that I do not believe that the Republicans do not have the power to steal this election. I think that we're seeing signs of things around the country right now. I said early on, watch Minnesota and watch Michigan. We always have to be mindful of Ohio. Some things have happened there this past week that are definitely bad omens for the election. The election is, of course, on November the 4th. If they steal this one, let's all remember that November the 5th is Guy Fawkes Day. And anyone who's seen the movie V for Vendetta knows about what Guy Fawkes Day represents. I would hope that if they steal a third presidential election, people will remember Guy Fawkes. We'll be right back with you right after this short break. This is Wayne Mattson, Washington, D.C.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. I was mentioning before the break this bailout package. It's absolutely a disgrace. It had the support of Republicans and Democrats, but also Republicans and Democrats opposed it. But when you look at the list of the members of the House who supported this giveaway to the billionaires, you start to see what we have is the members who are really part of this structure of, I don't know, how should we put it, this banking class, this globalization class, this Council on Foreign Relations crowd. Let's go down. We'll just hit a couple of these on the list. Rob Andrews, South Jersey Democrat. This guy represents Camden, New Jersey, one of the poorest cities in the United States. He votes for the giveaway package. Shame on Tammy Baldwin from Madison, Wisconsin. That's a very progressive town with the University of Wisconsin there. She votes for it. Howard Berman. Now, Howard Berman, chairman of the House Foreign Relations Committee. He's a very creepy Southern California Democrat. Going down a list further, Blunt from Missouri, a Missouri Republican. His son is the governor of Missouri. Definitely one of the movers and shakers. John Boehner, I call him Boehner, GOP minority leader. Mary Bono, Sonny Bono's widow. I mean, say no more. Why, you know, I mean, of course she's going to vote for it. What else does she know except she probably listens to Sonny Bono's old awful record albums. Eric Cantor, a very smarmy Republican from Virginia. You go down the list. Mike Castle, Delaware Republican, but he represents, of course, the credit card industry. I might add, so does Joe Biden from Delaware. We have Steve Cohen, Tennessee Democrat, represents a majority African-American district in the Memphis area. I'm sure the people in his district love the fact that he's given away $700 billion to $1 trillion. Arthur Davis, Alabama Democrat. Oh, he's, you know, one of these Harvard types. Of course, he's going to vote for it. You go down the list, and it just gets very, very becomes, you know, Barney Frank, of course. He helped push this bailout package through. Peter Hoekstra, he's the minority Republican on the House Intelligence Committee. Shame on Patrick Kennedy, Ted Kennedy's son from Rhode Island. Here's Kilpatrick, who's from Michigan, the Detroit area. Her son, of course, is going to go to the big house for all kinds of malfeasance in office as mayor of Detroit. But this is just an outrageous – these people should all be thrown out of office for what they've done. my congressman from here in Northern Virginia on the other side of the Potomac from Washington, old Diamond Jim Moran. He was the, by the way, he was indicted. He was the mayor of Alexandria. He pleaded like Agnew Nolo Cantandre and got off that one. A lot of freshman Democrats voted for this bailout. I'd be surprised to see them get reelected. Patrick Murphy from the Pennsylvania, Iraq war veteran. John Murtha, Mr. Abscam. He almost got indicted on Abscam. He still got his fingers in someone else's pockets. Unfortunately, now it's the American taxpayers. But we go down the list. Jim Saxon, South Jersey Republican, largest recipient of AIPAC money of anyone, American Israel Public Affairs Committee, of anyone else in the House. And there we go. I've got that list up on WayneMasterReport.com. You can look at that. Now, I've got another list. This is an amazing list. There's a list of countries and their current account balances. This is according to the CIA, their account balances last year. China, $371 billion, over $371, almost $372 billion, leads the list of countries with cash on hand. Germany, number two, $254.5 billion. Japan, $210.5 billion. Saudi Arabia, number four. Russia, number five. Switzerland, six. Norway, seven. Kuwait, remember that country we bailed out, got invaded by Saddam Hussein? Number eight. Netherlands, number nine. Singapore. Singapore, which is about the size of a borough of New York, number 10. And who is at, what country comes in dead last on this list? The United States. We are a minus $731 billion. $731. Spain is ahead of us. And then good old England, Great Britain, is third from the last. Australia, then Italy at the bottom. Isn't it funny? All the countries that have been run by neocons are at the dead last. Italy's down here, run by Berlusconi. France is way down here, now run by Sarkozy. I think it's pretty clear that the neocons have bankrupted the largest countries in the world, in the Western world anyway. I think I said, who do we go to blame? Well, we blame the neocons. Now, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to hold these people accountable? I say, don't throw them in jail. Throw them under the jail. Nothing is too bad for these insipid creatures, the neocons. They've destroyed the United States. They bankrupted this country. They've destroyed our Constitution. And it's just the blood that they've cost us in Iraq and Afghanistan and all their other adventures they're thinking about getting involved with. It's just a total outrage. I think we really need to hold these neocons responsible, because it's clear the countries that they are in power in right now or have been in power recently, they've bankrupted the treasuries of those nations. You look at the top of the list. And who do you find? You find China, you find Russia, you find Germany, the countries where the neocons haven't gained a foothold but would dearly love to, because they want to steal their money too. And that's why Putin is not going to take anything from these neocons. He's holding the line against them. He's holding the line against the United States and NATO and these Eastern European countries. Also at the bottom of the list, Bulgaria you'll find there, Poland you'll find there. Hungary, you'll find there. He's holding the line against them, NATO, and Israel, which was a major military supporter and intelligence supporter of Georgia when Georgia attacked the small enclave of South Ossetia. Anyway, it's clear who's at fault here. The neocons, we need to rout them from power. We need to ensure that they never, ever come into power again in this country or any of the other countries in North America or Europe or any of the other places where they've gained a foothold. I see we have a phone call from Louisiana. It's Tassie on the line. Hello, Tassie. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing okay. I We are picking up some static tonight. I assume it's the evil powers that be trying to interfere with the signal as it goes out. But anyway, it's good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you too. I tuned in and I see that you're currently discussing the bailout plan. I was reading something earlier today. I don't know if you have mentioned this, but I was reading that today our national debt has also just topped $10 trillion.
Well, it's amazing. Looking at this list of countries, then this is basically this is countries that have cash in the bank. China, of course, with $371 billion. This doesn't even get into the debt of ours that these countries hold, and it's substantial. I mean, China, Germany, Japan, Saudi Arabia, Russia, the top five, hold an awful lot of our debt. Yet what are we doing? We're selling weapons to Taiwan. That's going to make our major holder of our debt very happy. And, of course, we're pushing the envelope with Russia, which is, number five as far as cash flush. But, you look down his list, and it's amazing. Iran is at number 15. The evil Iran has a heck of a lot more money in the bank than we do.
Right. So we're all, not only are we provoking the nations that hold our debt, but something else on top of the national debt, on top of the mortgage crisis and the bailout plan, another thing to consider, this has been floating in the news for a while. Some countries have taken steps to do this, but some of the OPEC countries, I know that Venezuela has announced several times that it wants to stop trading oil and dollars, and I believe that Iran has also begun that process. So eventually oil will no longer be pegged to the dollar. We might be friends with Saudi Arabia and some of these other oil-producing countries to a certain extent, but they're also businessmen. They don't want to lose money, and our dollar is sinking. So we have those three issues coming at us. The other two are currently being ignored in the media, which is the dollar will not be pegged to the oil, and the national debt.
Right, and you mentioned Venezuela, number 19 on this list of countries with cash in the bank, $20 billion Venezuela, Hugo Chavez has. And, of course, we're trying to irritate him to no end. Libya, right ahead of Venezuela with $26 billion in the bank. And Hong Kong, 17, that's a city, $28 billion. And we're dead last, and now we're going to be even being further debt because we're bailing out these Wall Street crooks. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. Stick with us, Tassie. We'll be right back after this short break. This is Wayne Mattson with the Saturday Roundup coming to you tonight from Washington. Okay, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming in tonight from Washington, D.C. And the toll-free number, if you'd like to call the program, is 800-313-9443. It's 22 after the hour. We're talking to Tassie from Louisiana. I also would point out that there was this parliamentary maneuver in the House that created a lot of confusion. Brad Sherman, who's a Democratic congressman from Southern California, mentioned this. Now, fortunately, he opposed this bailout. He broke with many of his colleagues from Southern California who represent places like Beverly Hills, Hollywood, and all these other ritzy places. But he talked about this term, martial law. but anyway... I want to, if I can, play this clip of Brad Sherman on the floor of the House and what he says about martial law. If we can play this clip of Brad Sherman.
City from Ohio. The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's
what I call fear-mongering. Fear-mongering. Brad Sherman, Democrat, he was talking about some people in the House were talking about martial law. And Tassie, if you're still with us, I wonder what your thoughts are. Because, see, the martial law is like they talk about the nuclear option in the Senate. It had nothing to do with actual martial law. But apparently Sherman, Brad Sherman, picked this up that some people in the House told him that martial law would be declared in the streets. Now, it's very apparent if people in the House who are supposed to know about this maneuver are starting to talk about martial law in the streets, they're as scared about this as the rest of us are, because they jumped to the conclusion. And maybe they're right. Maybe they did hear something about martial law being declared in the streets. But I think for a member of the House to say that on the floor about martial law in the streets, I think says that maybe they know something we don't know.
Well, you know, I think that you're right. I mean, these people, these congressmen, obviously, they do know the difference between actual martial law in the streets and this other type of martial law, which is a suspension of rules in the House,
right,
so that legislation can be passed very quickly. So I don't think that I've listened to Brad Sherman many times before, after having listened to it, I don't think that he was exaggerating. I do believe him. I'm glad that he was honest about the type of fear-mongering that was going on the Capitol, after having lived in D.C. myself and followed the politics very closely. I can imagine that there were probably people spreading some either disinformation about a martial law in the streets to scare them, or perhaps there is some type of plan in work, because I know that you're aware of this. I don't know how many people are. In the Army Times on September 30th, 2008, not too long ago, the Army announced that for the first time, the Army active duty soldiers will be conducting homeland tours in the United States, because they've gotten rid of the Posse Comitatus Act. And so there's really no telling what all they're planning. But since I'm an avid reader of yours as well, I would like to bring up something that that you had written about before, because I know that you have some contacts in Washington, and it had come to your attention about a secret report that was being passed around called, was it the CNR? Was it CNR, Conflict and Revolution? And it had to do with financial issues.
Right. And this was all subject of a very secretive eyes-only report that was circulating around the Congress a few months back, where this was talked about. If the U.S. defaulted on its loans and its debts, they were talking about conflict in the streets and possible revolution if they raised everyone's taxes to pay for a bailout. So maybe the fact that the election is on November the 4th, and anyone who lives in the old British Commonwealth knows what November the 5th is. It's the old remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason, and plot. I see reason why gunpowder, treason should ever be forgot. So that's, of course, when Guy Fawkes tried to blow up the British Parliament some years back. Perhaps the members of the House are a little bit concerned about something like that happening here.
Right. It was also my understanding, though, that this CNR, this Conflict and Revolution report, which was being passed around, if I remember correctly, while this was a secret report for eyes only,
we'll have to hold it right there, because we've got another break here.
Okay.
We'll come back. We'll be back right after this break.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, this Saturday roundup coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. We have Tassie still with us on the line, but before we go on, I want to play quickly a couple of clips from this from Sarah Palin. Now, the first is from the debate, where obviously this hockey mom has been hit too many times with her own hockey stick in the head, because she was trying to talk about how much she knows about what's going on in the world, and she couldn't even get the name of the U.S. general in charge of our forces in Afghanistan correct. His name is General David McKiernan. Let's play this clip of Sarah Palin talking about the head of the U.S. forces in Afghanistan.
Governor. Well, first, McClellan did not say definitively that the surge principles would not work in Afghanistan, certainly accounting for different conditions in that different country, and conditions are certainly different. We have NATO allies helping us, for one, and even the geographic differences are huge. But the counterinsurgency principles also could work in Afghanistan. McClellan didn't say anything opposite of that. The counterinsurgency strategy going into Afghanistan, clearing, holding, rebuilding the civil society and the infrastructure, can work in Afghanistan. And those leaders who are over there, who have also been advising George Bush on this, have not said anything different but that.
Well, there we have it. General McClellan, Governor Palin, General George McClellan was the head of the Union Army in the Civil War. He was not particularly fond of Lincoln or Lincoln of him. I think you've got your wars mixed up. You've confused Afghanistan with the War of Succession that was basically launched by their descendants, your friends in the Alaska Secessionist Party, the Alaska Independence Party, which I've written about. This woman, Palin, and her husband, Todd, have had a lot of dalliances with this Alaska Independence Party. And if you look at who they're linked to the League of the South and all these other Southern Secessionist neo-Confederacy movements. So I guess she just had General McClellan on her mind. What do you think about that, Tass? Do you think she just thought that, you know, she was trying to think about Afghanistan, but I guess she still goes back to the days of the Civil War, talking about General McClellan and the Army of the Potomac.
Right. Well, when I heard her say McClellan, I actually started thinking about Fort McClellan, the base that they had closed down in Alabama, because I used to live there, and when I was in Army ROTC, I had some nice FTXs out there. They were lots of fun. So that's actually what I thought of. But my impression of her mistake, I mean, we, on one hand, while we all make mistakes, and especially if you're in front of a large group of people, on the other hand, not everyone is running for vice president. And secondly, right. I think that the mistake can more or less be attributed to the fact that she messed up on one of her talking points. I think that's something that she was supposed to say to show to the American people, hey, look at me. I know who a general is in Afghanistan,
right.
But she messed up.
And maybe she needs – maybe her glasses. She needs a new prescription for those signature glasses that she wears. Maybe she wasn't able to read her cue cards. Also, it's also been said that there was a wire hanging from her ear, and that reminds us all, of course, of what happened in 2004 in the Bush debate with Kerry, where it looked like he had some sort of transceiver device under his jacket. So I think what we're going to have to start doing for presidential and vice presidential debates is what we all have to do when we go through, go to the airport. We have to all go through a security check. I think the candidates will also have to be, go through a security check to see what kind of metal they have on them and what kind of devices they're wearing, so they don't cheat, because it's obvious that Bush cheated in 04, and now it's thought that Palin was cheating. And, of course, maybe that's why she was winking all the time. She was winking at the person who was talking to her in whatever earpiece she had. That we saw some people saw the wire of course, the media never picks up on this. They didn't do it in 04, and they certainly didn't do it this time around. I also want to play this other clip of this was in the interview that Palin had with Katie Couric of CBS News. You've got to listen to when Katie Couric, who's not the best interviewer in the world, believe me, when she asks her about what other Supreme Court cases she knows other than her favorite, which is Roe v. Wade. Let's listen to this. Let's listen to this clip.
What other Supreme Court decisions do you disagree with?
Well, let's see. There's, of course, in the great history of America, there have been rulings that there's never going to be absolute consensus by every American. And there are those issues, again, like Roe v. Wade, where I believe are best held on a state level and addressed there. So, you know, going through the history of America, there would be others, but
can you think of any?
Well, I would think of any, again, that could best be dealt with on a more local level. Maybe I would take issue with, but you know, as a mayor and then as a governor and even as a vice president, if I'm so privileged to serve, wouldn't be in a position of changing those things, but in supporting the law of the land as it reads today.
Well, there you have it. She did not know any other decisions other than Roe v. Wade. It's clear this woman is a dingbat. She said there have been other Supreme Court decisions which have been controversial. To quote her, to quote, paraphrase her, you betcha, Sarah, there has been. How about Marbury versus Madison, in which the Chief Justice Marshall stated that the Supreme Court has the right to view and conduct oversight of executive branch decisions and acts of Congress to make sure they're constitutional. Now, this flies directly in the face of Cheney's and Bush's unitary executive, something that McCain and Palin will not only continue with but strengthen, this unitary executive. It's pure fascism. So she doesn't know about Marbury versus Madison, which would throw the unitary executive out on its ear. Dred Scott versus Sanford. Oh, that was the one that upheld slavery, Governor Palin. I guess you find that somewhat controversial to this day. Korematsu versus the United States. That was Fred Korematsu, who was detained. He was a Japanese-American detained at the outbreak of World War II. In that decision, the Supreme Court ruled it was okay for Americans to be detained without trial and sent away to camps. Pretty scary, right, Tassie, with what we were just talking about, right?
Yes, I think that it is very scary. I was watching the debate, and I was really troubled by the fact that she is not only accepting of the unitary executive and the power that the vice president has, but she wants to expand upon it. I mean, how much further can it go? I guess it could go further, but I'm scared as is. I don't want to see it go any further. I mean, it just defies logic. I mean, it's almost.
Right.
I've after 8 years of these people, it's almost like I don't even get mad and start yelling anymore because I've done so much of it, I just don't even know what to say anymore when they say stuff
Well, there's a couple others that old Sarah forgot about. Plessy versus Ferguson, which actually reinstated, legalized segregation in this country and basically legalized Jim Crow laws in the South. Brown versus Board of Education, which desegregated the public schools in this country. She, of course, doesn't know about those two. Considering the friends she has, I'm not surprised she doesn't know about those. She probably considers Brown versus Board of Education be a dark day in her history. Miranda versus Arizona, which gave us our Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent if you know, she didn't know about that very important court decision. And here's one that she ought to remember, Bush versus Gore, which actually was a Supreme Court decision that gave us the 8 years of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. So, I mean, this woman is obviously she's making Dan Quayle look like one of our greatest statesmen of all times.
Right, right. And beyond that, something else that I picked up on during the debate was, and like I want to say first, you know, I'm not, you know, necessarily supporting Obama. I'm not, because I'm able to see how they're both controlled. However, one of the things that really irked me was when she began to criticize Biden. She was criticizing Obama for actually wanting to speak to Ahmadinejad over the trouble that we have. However, she would immediately turn around and talk about how much he supports diplomacy. But that tells me that she doesn't know what diplomacy is, because you have to speak to your enemies. You just have to. And I was reading.
Well, she can yell. She can yell at him across the Bering Straits from Alaska to Russia. She can see Russia from where she lives, right? So.
Right. I read that. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I see online that the U.S. has just decided to cancel plans to establish their diplomatic presence in Iran over fears that it would affect the presidential race. So there will not be a new embassy in Iran after all.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, it was great to have you on, Tassie, and we're going to fight these people together.
Okay, you know, well, thank you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for calling in. And let's go to Robert in South Carolina, who's been holding on patiently.
Are we there?
Yes, Robert. Hello.
Wayne, how are you?
Good, good.
You don't like the South very much, do you?
No, I. Hey, listen, I went to Ole Miss. I spent 3.5 years at Ole Miss, which was actually the site of the first presidential debate. No,
right.
What I don't like, what I don't like are the people that the Alaska Independence Party has made common cause with, which are these League of the South folks. These neo-Confederates that want to, you know, the South to rise again. I guess they never threw away their Confederate money.
Well, that's right. The Confederate money might be worth more than the U.S. dollar right now.
I think you're right. That's probably true now. It's probably backed by some more gold than our dollar bill is.
It might make you happy to know you're speaking to a member of the League of the South.
Okay.
That's why I called, because I'm just curious. I didn't know Palin was involved with us in any way, shape, or form, but I just wonder what the problem is with secession. I mean, why is secession such a taboo thing?
Well,
that's a legitimate question.
Well, it is. It's a legitimate question. I think the issue is...
you hear my accent, by the way, just not to interrupt you, but you hear my accent. I'm not from South Carolina. I live in South Carolina.
Right.
I'm from Connecticut.
I think we had this awful war... the war between the states. If the United States is going to fall apart, that's one thing. But I would hope that we can salvage this country. It's still, you know, worth saving, I think. And the idea that we would split apart, you know, it's clear that the Alaska Independence Party has nothing to do with returning Alaska to the native Alaskans, because Palin has called them Mukluks and Arctic Arabs. They're very racist terms.
I'm not a neocon at all.
Yeah.
I'm not in favor of Palin. I mean, that was a last ditch effort, a shot in the dark, a prayer for McCain. I'm frightened as to what this leadership in Washington is going to do to all of us. I don't want to be part of that. How am I free if everyone around me, meaning the other states, are saying, no, you have to be. How are we free here in South Carolina? And that's my question. Why is secession such a bad thing? Secession not from our sisters and brothers like yourself, other people in the United States, but from this government that is completely out of control.
Well, I agree that something has to be done. How about the idea of maybe a second constitutional convention where
all the neocons getting in charge of that.
Well, we wouldn't want them... obviously to be there, but starting anew, I think the idea that succession brings up, especially for African Americans, an awful specter of what, you know. Now, not that that war was totally had to do with slavery. A lot of it had to do with economics, as we know. But for a lot of African Americans, the new Confederacy breaks up some, especially
with... There is not going to be ever a Confederacy as it was in 18...
Right.
That's not going to happen. So, and we don't espouse that here in the South Carolina League of the South. I could say that as a member.
Right.
What we want is simple. We want freedom.
Yeah.
We don't want to have a Federal Reserve system. We do not want to have an empire running around the world telling everyone how to run their lives, including how to run our lives. And
right.
It's that simple. We're not anti-American. We're very much Americans, and even the Confederate
right.
States of America. And, if I may, Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederate States of America, in 1862 was traveling somewhere in, I believe it was, as a matter of fact, Mississippi, and he
yep.
saw a black man beating the crap out of his kid. He took the kid, had the man arrested, and he adopted the black man. I mean, the black boy.
Yep.
He was 14
right.
years old. Anyway, the point is, this whole notion of the South hating blacks is absurd. I can tell you from living in Connecticut to coming here that the racism up north, in Connecticut especially, is far worse than it is here. Blacks and whites live next door to one another here. They don't get upset about it.
I know that, and I think what happened what we saw was in after Reconstruction, which was a few decades after the Civil War, we saw in many cases there were black units that fought for the South, just like there were African American units that fought for the Union Army. But anyway, we've got some other folks holding on.
Right,
thanks
yeah,
for calling in, Robert.
Right,
and we're all on the same page as far as what we've got to do to save this country.
I don't know what the answer is, but we'll see what happens.
We'll try to work it out the best we can. Let's go to Illinois. Are you with us?
Our caller
from Illinois. Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Good to have you on.
I'm glad to be on. There's several things floating around the internet. I don't know if you've caught them lately. Cynthia McKinney.
Yes.
An article at Rumor Mill News today about the 5,000 people that were executed after Katrina. It's a video
right.
report.
Right.
Also,
I've
there's
seen that.
A problem with bird flu in Alaska.
Well, we've got
CDC.
A caller holding on from Alaska. Maybe he'll be able to tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, I'll be happy to step back and let that caller go on. Thank you,
okay.
I enjoy your show greatly.
Great. Thanks for checking in with us. Let's go to Chad in Alaska, who may have information on this bird flu thing, which I haven't heard about, but more importantly, may have some information on old Sarah. Well, let's go to Chad. Let's go to Chad after this break. We'll be right back. This is Wade Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup. Okay, welcome back. This is Wade Matson with the Wade Matson Report. And before we leave everyone, we have Chad calling in from Alaska. So let's get Chad in under the wire here. Chad, are you with us?
Yeah, well, I don't really have much to say about bird flu. I mean, I guess they just study it in Alaska because of the migration patterns from north to south that happen.
I know
every
that.
Year
I,
with
right. Birds. I've been to Alaska. I know there's mosquitoes up there the size of birds.
Yeah,
I've seen them myself.
Our state bird.
Exactly. What can you tell us about Sarah? And
that's exactly why I called. I mean, I was getting a little upset from the. It seemed like people were grasping at straws to find things to find bad things to say against her. And, I mean, in the clips that were played, she said that she stands for the Constitution, which is something no other candidate ever says. She says she wants to support the laws of the Constitution. She was accused for belonging to the Alaska Independence Party, which is our Patriot Party here, and I don't know any valid reason for thinking that's something negative or to think that it's tied to League of the South or any other group. It's our own group here in Alaska.
Let me make one point now. The Republicans, and she today tried to link Obama to Bill Ayers because he's a terrorist. He was caught trying to create bombs to blow up the Pentagon. He went to jail, served his time. But there's a guy named Joe Vogler, who's the guy who founded the Alaska Independence Party, and he died in a deal that went bad. He was trying to buy plastic explosives. Now, what would the head of the Alaska Independent, he ran for governor and lost, what would that the head of that party be doing trying to buy plastic explosives?
Well, I don't think that information is correct. I mean, I heard a lot of things that were not correct in the last half hour, and he died under mysterious circumstances, and it was very likely some kind of setup, and it seems like the government had hired or paid off some kind of convict that had escaped from prison or something.
He was some petty thief that they who apparently shot him. And
Joe Vogler was the kind of person that went to Helping Hand to people. I mean, it wasn't because he was a bad man. It was because he was a good man. And
well,
I don't know.
People in Chicago would say the same thing about Bill Ayers. He was so committed against the Vietnam War. That, you know, he got involved with this Weather Underground faction. He served his time in jail, and now he's a fine member of the community in Chicago. But Palin is trying to paint his association with Obama as Obama hanging out with or palling around with terrorists. So,
well, you know, we're not a country. We're a federation of states, and Alaska didn't become a so-called state because of the Native people wanted it. It was because the United States government put about 30 to 40,000 military soldiers up here, and they all voted for it. So people here
absolutely
never wanted to be part of the United States. We don't need the United States. We have enough wealth here.
Right. I'm all for Native rights, and if the Native population, the Inuit and Aleut people, want to become independent, I'm all in favor of that. But
we only became a state because of the military vote.
Well,
we were intentionally,
it's great.
Put here for that reason.
Well, thanks. We're up against the hour. Thanks for calling in, Chad, and explaining the Alaska Independence Party and what they believe in. And this is Wayne Mattson. We will be back with you with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, this time every Saturday night. So thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with you next week.